We need you. We need your forgiveness. We need your grace. We need your wisdom. We need your Spirit to move in our lives. God, to lead us down the paths of righteousness that you created us for, and to fulfill the purpose that you have given to our life. God, we thank you that we can come together as a church family. We thank you, God, for this morning, for this opportunity. We thank you, God, for your word, that we can read it and we can learn more about your will. But Lord, please, as you fill us this morning, as you minister to us this morning, help us, God, to not just kind of keep it for ourselves, but Lord, fill us, God, with a passion to go forward and continue the mission of spreading the gospel, of helping others who are far from you come to know you as Lord and Savior. And Jesus, we cling to the promise that once the gospel has been spread around the world, that you will come back. So God, we go and we minister, looking forward to that day when you come back to this earth, when you make all things new. And Jesus, we will be with you forever. Jesus, we pray this in your holy name. Amen. Well, if you have a Bible with you today, I want to encourage you to go ahead and open it up to the book of Exodus. And today we're going to be in chapter 21. If you're not familiar with the book of Exodus, it's the second book in the Bible immediately after the book of Genesis. Well, I don't know about you guys, but I know, or I think just about everyone has a favorite movie. Now, if you were to ask me what my favorite movie was, it'd be a close tie for first and second place. First, I would say The Empire Strikes Back. Great classic, right? Great movie. But after that, I'd have to say that my favorite movie is probably the movie The Princess Bride. Now, I think I've mentioned that before to you guys. It's just this great movie. It has a little bit of something for everyone in it. There's a pirate, there's a giant, there's sword fighting, there's a love story. I mean, it's just this great movie. And as I was preparing this week, that movie was kind of going through my mind. Or more specifically, one of the characters of that movie. In the movie, the actor Matty Pannington plays the character Inigo Montoya. Do you guys remember him? Now, in the movie, Inigo, when he was a young boy, his father was killed by a man with six fingers. It's part of the story. And Inigo, he dedicated his life to tracking down this man. And his early life, he spent studying how to be a swordsman, believing that one day he would encounter the six-fingered man. And at that moment, he would avenge his father's death. And there's this famous line in the movie, which you can see up here, where he says that when he finally meets the man face to face, he'll say, "My name is Inigo Montoya. You killed my father. Prepare to die." Right? If you've seen it, you remember, he says it over and over. And for some reason, we can't say that without trying to get his accent in there. It's this great movie. And in the end, Inigo gets his revenge. As I was thinking about that, this thought occurred to me. What is the difference between justice and revenge? Because in the case of Mr. Montoya, they kind of feel like they're the same. And Inigo, he even acknowledges that his actions are nothing less than revenge. At the end of the movie, when asked what he'll do now that he has killed the six-finger man, he replies with, "I've been in the revenge business so long, now that it's over, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life." That is his response, because his whole life has been dedicated to seeking revenge. I wonder, are we that different? Not meaning that we are searching for a six-fingered man. My guess is none of us are doing that. But could it be that when we're wronged, when we're wounded, that while we say what we want is justice, what we really want is revenge? During the 2016 presidential race, one of the candidates was asked during an interview what their favorite Bible verse was. And they responded with a quote from the book of Exodus: an eye for an eye. How many of you guys have heard that statement in some sort of form before, right? Most of us. An eye for an eye. If you think about it, that statement, an eye for an eye, kind of goes well with Inigo Montoya's statement. The two seem to kind of match up of what you do to me, I get to do back to you. But is that really what the Bible teaches? And also, if you've read Scripture before, doesn't Jesus deal with this as well? It seems like we have kind of two parallels or two extremes, if you will. Well, I thought today we could spend some time looking at this. Now, if you're here for the first time today, over the past couple weeks, we've been looking at different texts that are that misrepresent or assign to the Bible things it never actually said. Now, that could be something that's taken out of context, therefore changing its meaning, or it could even be something completely fabricated, such as the statement, God helps those who help themselves, which 3/4 of Americans approximately believe are in the Bible, but it's not. It's not something the Bible actually says. Well, what about this statement, an eye for an eye? Well, to fully understand it, to make sense of this verse, we have to understand its larger context. We find this verse in the book of Exodus after the Hebrew people, this is the Jewish people, have been delivered from the bondage of Egypt. See, for 400 years, they lived as slaves in Egypt. And God supernaturally, miraculously delivers them. And about 2 million people total make their way from Egypt to the land that God promised to Abraham. So that land would be Israel, or what would become the nation Israel. Now, as you can probably imagine, 2 million people making a journey together, there's going to be some problems. Imagine that. If you put 2 million people together, there's going to be some problems. Shoot, you just fill up a sports arena with people, right? And you get some problems. So God speaks to Moses, and he tells Moses to establish a judicial system, that there will be judges, that there will be laws, and then there'll be guidelines for what happens when those laws are violated. And it's within that context that we find our verse. So if you have your Bible, Exodus chapter 21, starting in verse 22. It says, when men strive together and hit a pregnant woman so that her children come out, but there is no harm, the one who hit her shall surely be fined, as the woman's husband shall impose on him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. But if there is harm, then you shall pay life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burn for burn, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. Now, while most of us are familiar with this statement, an eye for an eye, maybe you know the rest of it too, right? Kind of an eye for an eye kind of summarizes the whole thing, if you will. My guess is many of us have never heard it in the context in which the Bible is actually, or when the Bible actually mentions it. See, the context is you have two guys who are engaged in some sort of quarrel. They're fighting. I don't know. Maybe one said something about the other one's mom, right? And they started fighting. I don't know. And somehow, one of them's wife gets in the mix, gets in the middle. Maybe she's coming to her husband's defense. and she gets wounded in the process. She gets wounded, and somehow, or in that, her unborn child gets harmed. Now, let me ask you a question. If you were the husband, for the men, whose pregnant wife was injured so that your unborn child was injured, or if you were this woman, the mother who was injured, so therefore your unborn child was injured, what would you want to do? Yeah. Would not rage flow through us? Would we not want to make that person who caused that injury suffer? My guess is that for most of us, we would do everything we can to get back at that person who caused this to happen. That feeling of rage that we could all imagine ourselves having, that feeling of seeking revenge or making the other person suffer, is the very reason why we have this scripture. Now, when we read it, we tend to read these words as a mandate. This is what must be done. But that's actually not how the Jewish people understood this verse. Matter of fact, we have no recorded examples of people going around chopping off hands, plucking out eyes. They didn't understand it that way. And the church, historically, has not understood this verse as a mandate. If this happens, then you must do this. Rabbi Rashai, he writes in his commentary, says, if a person blinds his neighbor's eye, he must give him the value of his eye. He goes on and says, not the actual amputation of a limb. John Calvin, the great reformer, said, the murderer is to be punished for he who has maimed a member of his brother. But it is not therefore lawful that you, if you have unjustly suffered violence, to indulge in wrath and hatred so as to render evil for evil. David Guzek, pastor and writer, said, if lasting damage results, retribution is always limited by the eye for an eye principle. This law was meant to block our desire for vengeance and not given as a license for revenge. You see, in Jewish culture, they understood this, that an eye for an eye was not a mandate, but rather it was a restraint for the maximum that could be done. God was not saying, if this happens, you must do this. What he was saying is, if this happens, don't revert to revenge. And I think it's very interesting what verse 22 says. It says, and you can look at it, if you have your Bible right there, it says, as the judges determine. See, God actually takes away from the individual the right to punish, and he gives it to the judges. And then he gives the judges this command, this is the most you can do. Think about it this way. In our country, we have what's called the Eighth Amendment. Now, the Eighth Amendment says that it talks about punishment and things of the sort, and it says there can be no cruel or unusual punishments. Right? We took this idea from the scriptures. Right? If I choose to go and get drunk, and I get behind the wheel of my car, and I hit someone, and I kill them, I'm going to be charged with manslaughter, and I'm going to go to prison. What doesn't get to happen is the person who was, their life was taken, their family doesn't get to enact judgment on me. They don't get to seek revenge against me. The judicial system takes care of that. And the judicial system is limited. If I've been charged with manslaughter, the judge can't decide, well, we're going to go kill your entire family, Brent. Right? There's limits on what can be done. But when we take it out of context, when we say things like, you know, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, what we're doing is we're making the Bible say something it never intended. And we do the same things when Jesus readdresses this very verse. If you have your Bible, flip it over to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in chapter 5. Matthew is the first book in the New Testament. Jesus is giving his very famous sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus says this. He says, you've heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, right? Jesus is recalling, Jesus is pointing them back to the book of Exodus, which is interesting. If you read Jesus' teachings, he's constantly doing that. He's constantly pointing people back. Right? Because they're always trying to catch him. He says, so you've heard that it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist the one who is evil. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, when we hear that, it appears that what Jesus is saying is, if you're in a situation where you're struck, it would be better for you to get struck again than to try to avenge yourself. Which for many of us, that causes some problems, right? This idea that if we were in this situation and someone was doing something, we would want to do it back, would we not? You see, in the time of Jesus, the same thing that has happened in our present culture, scriptures were being taken out of context. Which is why Jesus keeps pointing them back. Have you not heard? Have you not read? And here Jesus says, okay, you've heard this. You've heard this little line, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And he says, but I say to you, it's better to just turn the cheek. Now, when we hear that, sometimes we can think Jesus is being insensitive. We can think Jesus isn't putting himself in my shoes. Right? He doesn't understand what I'm going through. But actually, he does understand what you're going through. And what he's trying to do is protect you. Paul understands this, and he picks up on this theme in the book of Romans. And listen to what Paul writes in Romans 12. He says, beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Verse 21, this is a very, very important verse here. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. When we look at this scripture, we see first and foremost, vengeance belongs to the Lord. It is not yours, it is not mine to enact. But along with that, Paul, led by the Holy Spirit, writes this line, do not be overcome by evil. When we choose to enact vengeance, when we choose to make others suffer because they have hurt us, we do it because, right, there's this sense of getting even, of making them feel what we feel. There's even this sense of, I'm going to feel better when I do this. But the scripture is telling us that vengeance never leads to healing. Vengeance only invites evil into our hearts. Right? Do not be overcome by evil. Have you ever met someone who is just venomous? I'm not talking about someone who's been wounded. There's a big difference between a person who has been wounded and a person who's venomous, a person who's just bitter, a person who you get around and you're just like, wow, this, you know, maybe you've struggled with this yourself. I know that there's been things in my life that I've allowed bitterness to enter into my heart. When we are venomous, when we are bitter, when we have been wounded and it leads to that, it's because of this. We have allowed evil into our hearts. Instead of moving towards mercy, we move towards revenge. And the biblical truth is this, that revenge will never bring healing. Revenge will only corrupt our hearts. That's why Jesus says this, turn the cheek, right? If he wants, he talks later, he goes on in that, he says, if you get sued for your sandals, give him your tunic also. If the soldier tells you to go 1 mile, go two. It isn't because of this. It isn't because Jesus is saying that what they're doing is okay. He's not saying that. He's not even saying that what they're doing shouldn't be punished. Because we read later in Romans, as it goes on, that God has given us judges. God has given us government. And it even says they wield the sword for a reason. What he was saying is this. Don't let evil into your heart. If you have a choice between seeking revenge and opening yourself to evil, it's better to go ahead and get slapped again. It's better to lose all your possessions. It's better to walk the extra way than to allow evil into your heart. Why? Because evil destroys us. Evil stops the mission of God moving forward. During the civil rights movement, when asked his thoughts on this very verse, an eye for an eye, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said that the only thing that this does is, quote, leaves everyone blind. See, if you're familiar with the civil rights movement, you know this, that Dr. King led a movement of nonviolence. Because he believed that good could overcome evil, because racism is evil. It is of the enemy. It's demonic. And Dr. King believed that with good, with nonviolence, that they would ultimately triumph because good would overcome evil. And then evil assassinated Dr. King. And it woke everyone up to the injustices that were happening in this country. And now today, while we still have a long ways to go, things are changing. And things began to change there in the 1960s. Jesus says this, it would be better to be struck. It would be better to suffer physical harm, lose physical things, than to open our heart to evil through revenge. The reason Jesus is saying this is because he loves you. Because he loves me. He doesn't want to see us overcome with evil. He wants us to share his love with the world. So it isn't like Jesus stepped onto the scene and just got rid of this statement from the Old Testament, which I know a lot of people like to think that. And this Old Testament sign wasn't just go out and whatever you do to me, I get to do to you. They both point towards the same thing. That God has created these systems and things are supposed to flow through them. But we as individuals are to never seek revenge. We're never to seek revenge. Now, most of us will likely never find ourselves in an Exodus 21 incident where, right, there's a woman who, or excuse me, the two guys are fighting and right, an unborn child gets injured. It could happen, but it's unlikely for many of us. While that may not be our case, we will find ourselves in situations where we're disrespected, where we're treated poorly, where our reputation is tarnished, when we're cheated out of something, when we're taken advantage of, and sometimes we're even in worse situations. And in those moments, right, when we get wounded, when our reputation gets tarnished, when people speak evil of us, we want to lash out. We want to seek revenge. We want to take it into our own hands. And we might even have an out-of-context verse to try to justify it. But that's not the way of the kingdom of God. The Bible says that's the way of evil. And Jesus wants us to overcome evil with goodness. You know, sometimes we ask this question, how big can the punishment be for what they did? When I think what Jesus is asking us is, how big can grace be? My prayer for us this morning is that we will listen to the words of Jesus and that we will choose to show love instead of vengeance. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks for your love and your mercy. God, we thank you that you have given us your word, that you have given us a piece of yourself so we can know and understand what your will is for us. God, as we think about this verse, an eye for an eye, God, it's a tough one. Because when we're wounded, we want to lash out. We want to strike back. We want to avenge ourselves. But Lord, you teach us that that's not your way. So Lord, please help us. Help us so that when we're in those moments, help us to show love. Help us to show grace. Help us, Lord, to surrender our need for vengeance and give it to you, knowing, God, that you ultimately have the last word. And God, I pray for everyone here that if there's anyone who is going through a season where they have been hurt, they have been taken advantage of, they have been wounded, God, would you please bring healing? Bring healing to their heart and to their mind and their soul. God, bring healing to their body if it is needed. And Lord, as you do that, we trust and believe what your word says, that good will overcome evil. So Jesus, we thank you for this. We look forward to the day when you come back and you make all things right. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.